on the church. And as we're going through there, I kept thinking, you know, what should we do next? And for some reason, I just kept feeling we needed to kind of talk about spiritual gifts and what specifically what they are, how we're to use them, and there's different things that come up when we think about spiritual gifts, because there's lots of confusion, lots of the things that go on there. And so tonight we're not going to try to push too hard, but we're just going to do a quick overview from the Old Testament and on into the New Testament of what are the spiritual gifts. And question I have for you guys is, how would you answer that question? What are spiritual gifts?
Gifts from the Holy Spirit.
Okay. That's weird. Oh, okay. I was like, my phone's connected to the screen, and I'm like, there's no audio coming through. That's kind of strange. So there are gifts given by the Spirit. Okay, yeah. What else would you? Okay. Yep.
Yeah, unique skill set gifted by the Holy Spirit to the mission of God the Father and great glory to His name.
Okay.
Specifically within the church, we do have a gift of evangelism that we talked about a few Sundays ago. But a lot of this is for the church, for leading with zeal, leading with zeal, giving with a joyful heart, with teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to the list. But yeah, you're right on. Well, here's a definition that I came across through Ligonier Ministry. And it says that spiritual gifts are the qualities and empowerments that are given by God the Father because of the Son through the Holy Spirit to the people of God in order to make them effective in gospel ministry. When God's people use these gifts in service to one another, the entire church is edified, built up, or encouraged in faith, hope, and love. So that's a good broad definition of what the spiritual gifts are and what they do. So, looking at this definition, question that arises is, have you ever been a recipient of being built up in faith, hope, and love? So somebody using their spiritual gift. Okay, what's an example of that? An example, and then how does that make you?
Being moved by a pastor's sermon.
Okay. All right.
Maybe in hard times, somebody, a member of the church, pointing you to Christ and showing you the word.
Okay.
Oh, administrative spiritual gift of Tony, like at the meeting. And she sits down and she does all of that. And that's not something everyone can do. It's a gift to be able to do that for your church and for the body. And it brings God glory.
Yeah, exactly. Tonight already, we already had our bellies are full now. Right, from hospitality and generosity, there's lots of examples. All right, so we're gonna kind of go back and look in the Old Testament, because obviously, God has God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son have been around from the beginning, right? The triune God has existed from eternity past together. And so they've constantly been working together all throughout history. And we see the Holy Spirit giving out gifts in His presence upon a particular people. The first example that I want to look at tonight is in Exodus 31. So you guys want to turn there. We'll look at how God poured out His Spirit upon... There's two men. I always mess up the name because they're all... Oliab and Bezazel. Not Bedazzle, but Bezazel. So Exodus 31, 1 through 11. If somebody wants to read that for us, we'll look at this instance when God pours out His Spirit. So these men are given the Spirit of God particular specific gifts to accomplish a specific task, to basically design and to build the tabernacle, which God would later on, after it's finished and built, He would go in and reside in the Holy of Holies, but He poured out the Spirit for them to have the gifts to do that and the talents to do those craftsmen in building the tabernacle. So we see that there. But when the job was done, then the Spirit would leave again. They didn't continue on being filled with the Spirit to continue to build and things like that for God. They did it for a time, and then the Spirit of God left them. So another passage in Numbers 11, 26 and 29, if you guys want to turn there. If somebody's there that wants to read that, that would be...
26:29.
Yeah.
But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his chosen men, answered and said, Moses, my lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp. he and the elders of Israel.
All right, so right before, in the first part of this chapter, what happened is that God put the Spirit of God on 70 elders that Moses and God had chosen to basically represent and to be elders within the people of God. Because if you remember, Moses was basically doing all the work of, you know, deciding things and settling disputes among the people and all that, and he was getting burned out, not knowing how to handle it all. This is from sun up to sundown. He was sitting before people trying to be judge, lawyer, you know, wisdom person, and but God said, no, we need to do something different here. We need to select 70 elders to be filled with the Spirit, and to prophesy and to help you in this process. And the 70 elders prophesied, but they did this only for a short amount of time. All right? And there's only two that will continue on to prophesy and to continue on prophesying. Once again, so in the Old Testament, we see that God gave gifts to people for a specific task, but the Spirit did not continue to rest on those individuals forever, just for until that task was accomplished. So we get to Joel, who's a prophet towards the end of the Old Testament. If you want to go ahead and turn there, actually, we have the passage up here. Joel prophesies, and he's prophesying because the people are, there's like a kind of a waiting and wanting to have more of a God's Spirit upon the people. And Joel prophesies, hey, there's going to be a time when God's Spirit is poured out completely and fully on his people. And in verse 28 of chapter 2, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. So, Joel prophesying something that's going to come to pass, right? That God's going to fill us with the Spirit, and it's not going to depart like it had been doing throughout the Old Testament. It's going to come, it's going to reside within each of God's people. So then we get to the New Testament. Sorry, forgot to switch my slide. Get the New Testament. There we go. Sorry, this is my first time doing this. So the New Testament, in Acts 2, we see this, a partial fulfillment of Joel's prophecy being taken place. And who could tell me what happens in Acts chapter 2? That's a big deal. Yeah, Pentecost. So who were filled with the Spirit? Yeah, so that was I found somewhere in, I think it was in my notes of my study Bible, said that there was over about 120 people that were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So the original disciples, which are now referred to as the apostles, were filled with the Spirit. But then also other people that were there that were believers that were trusting in Christ there. So 120 sons, daughters, young and old, just like Joel had prophesied. But You know, this is a partial fulfillment. This gift of the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Helper, which He promised in John 14. He's there with the disciples. He's telling them, "Hey, wait, I'm going to send somebody that's going to be able to be with you at all times, forever. It's going to guide you. It's going to remind you of all that I have taught you." Just think about that. How much stuff the disciples were being taught by Jesus. Like, how are they going to, how are they going to remember that? Everything that He taught. And He's like, "I'm going to send My Spirit to live within you. That way, you know what I will teach." So all that, the Holy Spirit at Pentecost were given the gift of prophecy and tongue. All right, this is the first two gifts we see represented at Pentecost. Prophecy and tongues to spread the message of the gospel to the many nations gathered in Jerusalem during the Jewish Passover. So they were still there at Passover, still hanging out with their families. Usually what they did is they stayed for a period of time at their Passover, about 7 weeks, to celebrate Pentecost, which is also known as the Feast of Weeks, which is the beginning of the harvest season for them. And so they're still there, so it kind of made it for a perfect opportunity for God to pour out His Spirit upon the people and for the gospel to go forth. Because, as we know, the apostles go out and they begin to preach, and people from other countries and nations and tribes are there hearing the gospel proclaimed in their own language. And if you remember the sermon that Peter preaches, after they get done, they're like, "Who are these people that are these Galileans? Why are they able to speak in my language and hear the gospel proclaimed?" Well, they didn't fill with the Spirit of God, and for that purpose and for that task. But they would continue. The disciples would continue to go out and use specific spiritual gifts that were given to them. That's why they are referred to as apostles, because they were given a different set of gifts for that purpose and time. So that is kind of where we end up today. We have several listing. We're going to get not very deep on the gifts themselves. We're going to kind of quickly go through them. But in Romans 12 is where we find our first list. If you guys want to turn there, our first list of gifts we find there in Romans 12, 3 through 8.
"For by the grace of God, we say to every one of them, not to think of himself more highly than God's faith, but to think of sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one of us, we have many members, gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness."
All right. So there's our first list that in Scripture, the way the Scripture is lined out, we see the list of gifts that are given. All right, we're not going to hit on like are all of these still in practice today or not. We're not getting not to that point. We're just going to look at this Scripture. This is what it's teaching to the Romans at that particular time. Here are the gifts that God grants to people that are trusting in Him, that are redeemed and have received the Holy Spirit. These are some of the gifts that God has given to individuals. So the next list we'll see is in 1 Corinthians. There's two parts in Corinthians chapter 12. This is the most exhaustive list that we find. Some of them are repeated from Romans, but then there's also some new ones that we come across. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see that there's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, right? Those are found in verses 4 through 11. And then in verses 27 through 31, it says that there are apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, administrating, and in tongues again. So we'll see a very good list here from chapter 12. And the next list we'll find is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'll just read this one. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building of the body of Christ." So, there's a short list there in Ephesians. The next one that we find, there's actually scattered out ones throughout the rest of the New Testament. And 1 Peter chapter 4, 9-11, it speaks of the gift of hospitality in speaking. It's kind of a weird one because it's like, all right, well, speaking what? We'll define it a little bit later. Service. And then in 1 Corinthians, again, in chapter 13, 3, the gift of benevolence. And one list that I saw, it lists martyrdom. So the gift of giving yourself for the gospel to death. Another gift in 1 Corinthians 7, 7 is celibacy. And then Ephesians 3, 6 through 8, the gift of being a missionary. So there's some of that, you know, that we don't really see or would even categorize them as gifts, but they are a gift that God gives to people. So when we look at these lists, how many of you guys kind of feel overwhelmed? Like there's so many, right? And if we're, as Christians, if we're called to be in the body of Christ, you know, that's what we see in Corinthians and in the passage in Romans. That somebody read. Is it you also read it? Romans? Well, we see that we're to use our gifts for the body, right? And if we're not using our gifts to edify and to build up the body, what's that doing to the body? Yeah, it's impeding, right? So if you were ever around some churches back in probably the 90s, late 2000s, what were some of the things that churches began to do in order to figure out how we're to what our gifts are? There's big things that will go on, conferences, or you have people come in and put together a certain type of class or assessment for you to figure out what your spiritual gift was. Did any of you guys ever have to do that before? When we were in Bible college, that was like a mandatory thing we had to do. We had to do a personality test and a spiritual gift test, and it's like, okay, they take that and they plug it right in, like a cookie, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And everybody did it. Yeah. So, we'll find out. We'll find out. We'll get to that in the weeks to come. But I'm guessing that probably all you guys think that's kind of strange, right? Yeah. No, there's a specific way that we're to figure out and find out where we're gifted and how we're to serve one another. So what I want to do for the rest of the night is I want to go through all these gifts and give a simple, quick definition of what they are. Understanding that some of them may have multiple meanings. They might have meant something different back in the New Testament, the beginning of the church, when the church was being established. Like, for instance, like an apostle. We'll start with one. Administration. We see that gift listed there. It says to steer the body toward the accomplishment of God-given goals and directives by planning, organizing, and supervising others. Right? So, who has that gift? Well, Tony obviously does. So, right. But, you know, it's just a very broad definition. All right. The apostle is one that has two meanings that I can take place, but we're going to look at one tonight. To be sent forth to new frontiers with the gospel, providing leadership over church bodies and maintaining authority over spiritual matters pertaining to the church. All right. So, the apostles of the 12, right, who were apostles, like, yes, they would have been this definition of apostle, but they are also given specific gifts of preaching. They're basically like the super gifts, right? Everything kind of wrapped up in one, if you think about it. And they're out healing, they're out prophesying, speaking in tongues, you name it. You see the A, I guess you call it the capital A apostles. They had all those gifts. Why would it be important for them to have all these supernatural specific gifts in order to begin, basically to start the church from scratch? Why would that be important?
Because they're going to have the whole canon of scripture to preach from. Okay. And it's pretty hard to believe just a guy that said, the teacher I followed my entire life did raise from the dead. And so God giving them that ability proved that Jesus did raise from the dead, because they're saying Jesus gave them this gift, the Holy Spirit within me, so I'm able to exercise this gift now. And the only way I got that is through Jesus Christ raising from the dead. Mm-hmm. So their claim became all that more legitimate. Otherwise, they'd just be
without the
gifts.
It
looked crazy. They really would, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be insane. Well, I mean, not to say anything about our charismatic brothers and sisters, but like if you go into a charismatic church, you think it's chaotic and crazy, right? Like, but in this time, like that was needed. Those things were needed for people to understand and to see the power of God in our midst. You know, just right from the beginning of the Peter preaching in the where he's preaching out there in Jerusalem, the colony, I think is what they call it. He goes out and immediately heals a man that's been lame from birth, right? And, that was a way to validate that he was, filled with the Spirit of God. To give weight to the message of Christ being crucified for their sins. And so, and many, many more examples throughout Scripture that show that. So the apostles, all right. Next, one. Sorry. All right. Celibacy. To volunteer, remain single with regret and the ability to maintain controlled sexual impulses so as to serve the Lord without distraction. All right. In discernment, one that's more familiar, to clearly distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior or teaching is from God, that's Satan, human error, or human power. Very important gift, right? Because what tends to happen in our culture with teachings and things? Yeah. We're like shifting shadows, right? Like, if we're not fixed on the truth, like, we could be blown to and fro. If we're not being fed fed the truth. And it's so easy to be led astray, think about this in life. Do most of us, just think about things that you're around or people you're around. Are you the type of person that blends in with the people that you're around? Think about college. If you're going to college, you begin to think and act and do a lot of the same things as the people that you're hanging out with, right? For whatever reason, right? That's why when kids go out to college, they become liberal fanatics, because they're around liberal fanatics. And then they come back to small town America, and then they're like, oh, wait, here's common sense again. Same kind of thing. Like, we can't look to our peers necessarily for truth. We gotta look to the Scriptures and trust those that we know that God's gifted with the gift of discernment to keep us on track. The gift of evangelism, to be a messenger of the good news of the gospel, the preacher of the gospel. Alright, so pretty self-explanatory. Exhortation, to come alongside of someone with words of encouragement, comfort, consolation, and counsel to help them be all God wants them to be. We need people that can exhort and encourage one another. Faith, to be firmly persuaded of God's power and promises to accomplish His will and purpose, and to display such a confidence in Him, in His Word, that circumstances and obstacles do not shake that conviction. Sorry, I didn't get the deal there. Do anybody have an example of anybody that has the gift of faith? Like they're just steady as a rock in their faith. Nothing shakes them. One person, my grandma, I see her she has the gift of faith. Like nothing shakes her. All right, the next one, giving, to share what material resources you have with liberality and cheerfulness, without thought of return. We all know people that have that gift. Healing, to be used as a means through which God makes people whole, either physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. We see that gift being used a lot in the beginning. And we'll get to that later on to see if is that gift still present and active today. We'll look into that as we go in this series. The gift of helps, to render support or assistance to others in the body so as to free them up for ministry. Hospitality, to warmly welcome people, even strangers, into one's home or church as means of serving those in need of food or lodging. Knowledge. Did anybody know this was a gift? The gift of knowledge? Yeah, right. So to seek to learn as much about the Bible as possible through the gathering of much information and to analyzing that data. All right. Anybody know anybody like that? Just like to soak it in. Like, you know, the thing is, Pastor Eric, he had the gift of knowledge. Just an example of that. When Mercedes and I went within Nepal, he would literally listen to teaching or the Bible all night long on his podcast, on his earphones, even as we and he's sleeping. Just like to soak it in. And the thing is, like, he would actually like remember things that he heard throughout the night. So weird. So weird. Yeah. But he, you know, just so consciously, whatever, like he could tell you a lot of what he had heard throughout the night. Really weird.
They say that's what you, the last thing that's on your mind.
Yeah.
You'll
your
mind
in the morning. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so just record all your notes and listen to how much you're sleeping at night. It'll just soak in. Yeah. All right. The next one, leadership. To stand before the people in such a way as to attend to the direction of the body with such care and diligence so as to motivate others to get involved in the accomplishment of these goals. All right, and then martyrdom, 1 Corinthians 13, to give one's life to suffer or to be put to death for the cause of Christ. I never thought of this one being as a gift. But think about this. Throughout church history, there's a quote that I'm not going to say it right, but it goes like something about the growth of the church is on the blood of the martyrs, right? There you go. There you go. Yeah. But that, you know, it's a gift. You know, as people have been persecuted throughout the years, that's when the church blows up and grows and spreads. Mercy. To be sensitive toward those who are suffering, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally, so as to feel genuine sympathy with their misery, speaking words of compassion, but more so, caring for them with deeds of love to help alleviate their distress. So probably most men aren't carriers of this gift. No, we can be. We can be. Just not to the people that probably deserve it the most. In our families. Alright, moving on. Miracles. To be enabled by God to perform mighty deeds which witnesses acknowledge to be of supernatural origin and means. Alright? we'll look into this one as well to see if it's something that has ceased or does it continue to be given to people. Missionary, to be able to minister in another culture. Have you ever thought of that being a gift? Yeah, because how many people do you know are missionaries?
Mm-hmm. You're called to missionary. You're called to this. And, like, I personally have never been called to go to different cultures and, like, you know, learn a different language. And I feel like that is, has to be a gift. Because mm-hmm. You just wake up and you're like, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Since there goes the spiritual gift test, right? You can make that say what it wants to say, right? But what actually are you gifted with? Isn't it? Yep.
I also do believe, though, that some of these are trained by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Some of these are not natural flows, like being a missionary. There's a lot of training that goes into that. There's people that wake up like, I want to be that. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, the Spirit has to work on them for months, maybe even years, mm-hmm. to actually be fully prepared. Pastor, generosity, like a lot of these... You'll start to see overlap, like the longer that you actually live with Christ, the more gifts that start to appear because you genuinely live within it and the Spirit continues to refine you through these gifts. Mm-hmm. And so they're in a way tied to the fruits of the Spirit as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep. All right. If you want to get through. Pastor, so you're responsible for spiritual caring, for protecting, guiding, and feeding a group of believers entrusted to one's care. Prophecy from Romans 12, 6, and Corinthians, actually all three places that it lists that one. Speak forth the message of God to his people, all right, or the foretelling of the will of God. So, Old Testament prophets foretold what God was going to do. And but the New Testament definition of prophecy is someone that heralds God's word. Which we have, right? Which we have. So it kind of closely tied with missionary, pastor, evangelist, more so today. Next. This gets long. There's a lot of these gifts. I just wanted to like throw these all out so you guys can know what they are. Because a lot of times we just rush through them and like don't even know, well, where am I getting to? Where can I be fitting in here? Service, to identify undone tasks in God's work, however menial, and use available resources to get the job done. Alright. Most deacons have that gift. You know, it's something that's natural that takes place in that gifting. teaching, to instruct others in the Bible in a logical, systematic way so as to communicate pertinent information for true understanding and growth. Once again, like Ross said, you know, you don't just wake up a good teacher. It's something that is learned and taught, and there's more natural teachers. Alright, the next one, tongues. Speak in tongues, to speak in a language not previously learned, so that unbelievers can hear God's message in their own language, or the body be edified. Then the final, I guess I got two more. Interpretation of tongues. So when there's somebody speaking tongues, there also has to be somebody to interpret, to make sure that what's being said is actually real, right? It's not made up, it's not just gibberish that makes no sense at all. Somebody to translate the message of someone who has spoken in tongues. The next one, voluntary poverty or benevolence, to purposely live an impoverished lifestyle to serve and aid others with your material resources. Never thought about that one being a gift. Wisdom, to apply knowledge to life in such a way as to make spiritual truths quite relevant and practical in proper decision making in daily life situations. We just pray that God gives everyone that gift. What an important gift that is. So, I got that list there, you know, the simple, straightforward definitions of the gifts. And you can go to ministrytools.com, and it's listed. I don't know anything else about that website, so please don't trust any of the rest of it. It just had the list and the good definitions of what the meanings are from the text. So, that's why I put that on there. So, as you're thinking about these gifts, you know, think on them, pray about, thank God, where have you gotten me at? One thing I'm going to do tonight, there's a video that I listened to this week talking about the gifts. It was an interview. I can't remember the one guy's name, the host, but the guy that he was interviewing was Costi Hinn, who grew up in the extreme charismatic part of Christianity, and he talks about the gifts, and he talks about basically everything that kind of funnels through there. It's a 45-minute video, but and I'll post it on the website or on Facebook for you guys to watch, because he begins to talk about how should we view the gifts. Are they completely ceased? Like we hear the terms cessationist or continuous. Do all the gifts continue throughout today, or has some of them ceased? And he does an excellent job of explaining that dichotomy. And how, you know, it's his opinion, his view. You know, God doesn't say in Scripture clearly, hey, these gifts have stopped. So lots of people have different views, but I think he does a really excellent job of finding the middle ground there, explaining it. So your homework, I guess, for tonight is to watch that video and learn more about some of these gifts that we listed here, and be prepared for next week. So, all right, Costi Hinn. Yeah, it's Benny's nephew. Yeah, it's a different guy that's interviewing him. Well, it's not his podcast. It's another guy that's interviewing him. Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head who he is.